Hello, you're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's Tuesday, the 10th of November, 2009. I'm your host, Hereward Fenton, and I'm joined tonight in the studio by Josh Jackson. And tonight we have two special guests who've just arrived from the United States, and they are Cosmos and Luke Radowski. Both activists in the 9/11 truth movement, and both really, really courageous and original people. Cosmos is the originator of the 11th of every month protest, which we've seen sweep the world over the last 2.5 years. And Luke Radowski is the founder of We Are Change, an organization which is also swept the world, and there are chapters of We Are Change which have sprung up in many different countries, many states of the US and Europe and Australia even. And it is really, really remarkable what these guys have achieved, and it's a great honor to have them on our show. So I will, without further ado, move straight in with our interview for tonight. Okay, we're back with Truth News Radio Australia, and tonight it's my great pleasure to welcome Luke Radowski and Cosmos to the show. We did a bit of an introduction there before. For our listeners who are familiar with the 9/11 truth movement, these guys will be quite well known, but I'd just like to really say thank you so much for coming on the show. It's really, really important. And welcome to Australia, guys.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Thanks for having us on. And excellent. It's great to be back here.
Excellent.
Great being down under, man. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, it's not that different. You know, in fact, it's in many ways, you'll find it's just like being back home. We've got all the same kind of issues that you guys have.
Very much so.
You guys got the seditious legislation already in order. You guys are ready to go for the new world order.
We've been basically rolling it out here step by step with the US. Basically, we've even had the same kind of changes of government from the phony right to the phony left. And yeah, we're basically right on track. Look, I'd just like to welcome Josh and introduce you to Josh, our co-host tonight.
Yeah, boys. Look, it's such a pleasure to meet you guys, man. You guys have been such an inspiration to me personally. Like, you know, when I remember one shot of Radowski running onto the train with this suit and then taking off the suit and going, yeah, I'm free, and having this awesome T-shirt underneath of, like, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or something crazy. And it really inspired me and countless people, and Cosmos with his 11th of every month has been so inspiring as well. So yeah, congratulations, boys, and let's keep the good fight.
Hey, there's no time for giving up, man. This is the perfect time to step it up and do the right thing, and you know, we're just so proud of seeing other people see what we're doing, you know, the actions and the confrontations, and take it and make it their own by doing it themselves in their cities and towns and all across the world, and even in beautiful Australia, people are doing it. So it's amazing seeing the big change happening.
Look, I mean, the whole world is basically united in a way in terms of people waking up. Just as we've got this sort of this threat of global, you know, global government New World Order, we also have the awakening that's happening all over the world too. And with the internet, with the means that we have to communicate and the technologies that we've got, I really think that we are making a lot of headway. And, you know, despite all the bad stuff that's going on at the moment, and of course, you know, we're involved in the same wars that you guys have been, your country's been committed to. We're deeply involved in that. We're deeply committed to Afghanistan. We're right up there with the invasion of Iraq too. But basically, most people I talk to...
And the same lies to justify them.
Indeed, the same lies. But that you speak to people, and so many people are just aware of the complete deception, including the fundamental deception. You know, the fundamental deception being that Osama bin Laden has never even been even indicted for 9/11, let alone whether they have any evidence. They never even indicted him. So what's the deal? Why are we in Afghanistan? What's going on? I mean, I always try to bring it back to the practical and the current situation, because people are always saying to me, you guys probably get this a lot too, they say, you know, as the years go by, they say, oh, 9/11, you know, it was years ago, forget it, move on, you know.
Basically, I mean, they've got that at the root of everything. I mean, pretty much, you know, they'll give you, you know, they'll say a bunch of song and dance about, oh, we're here because we're doing this, we're trying to root out that, and that. It all leads back to 9/11. It's always 9/11, with each new intrusion and each, you know, new destruction of civil liberties, that's what it comes back to, you know. And this 9/11 basically gave us a new global paradigm, you know, one of a war on terror. And it pretty much has provided endless carte blanche for multiple occupations, the slaughter of hundreds of thousands, and endless destruction of civil liberties. So as long as they're still using that as their free ticket to do whatever they want, well, then it's still important. And besides, you know, aside from that, 3,000 people were mass murdered.
Sure, I mean, it's not a trivial number.
One of them being my uncle Mickey. Personally, I'd like some solid answers. I'd like some accountability. I'd like some justice just for that one murder.
Sure.
Okay.
Cosmos, did I introduce you properly before? Because, like, I don't know too much about your background, but are you from, like, the East Coast or the West Coast, or, like...
I grew up on the East Coast of the United States, yeah.
Okay. And your uncle Mickey was in the World Trade Center on...
No, he was on Flight 93.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
One thing I'd like to ask is... You know, is having a magazine, like a publication, like, let's say Popular Mechanics, enough to for you just to say, oh, yeah, well, a magazine can investigate a murder of my uncle, and that should be put an end to it all?
Well, you know what's really hilarious is that the State Department page on so-called 9/11 conspiracies referred to the Popular Mechanics issue.
Yeah,
that dealt with this topic, you know, the so-called debunking issue of Popular Mechanics. I mean, how pathetic is that?
Yeah,
you know, it's the U.S. Yeah. government that staged this phony, you know, the whitewash commission that they had, where they neglected to answer over 70% of the Family Steering Committee's questions, and even the commissioners. You know, themselves, the compromised commissioners who participated in that said their hands were tied. They said that the commission was set up to fail. You know, how pathetic is that?
The United States
government has to rely on a magazine like Popular Mechanics. They have to lean
on a magazine in general
publication to, you know, to back up their you know, their weak rebuttal. You know, the State Department's website. They have a page on so-called 9/11 conspiracies.
And they actually refer to Popular Mechanics in there.
They refer people to Popular Mechanics, which was just this massive piece of rubbish.
Look, that's really a sign of incredible...
They might as well get rid of the police and the CSI.
Is that what they're doing now?
Popular Mechanics.
They're contracting out their investigative duties to basically like a tabloid... You know, Hearst.
Yeah.
You know, Popular Science magazine. What's this? It's
so disgusting and despicable, and I find it revolting when people actually say, "Oh, yeah, nah, you guys are nuts." I've read Popular Mechanics rebuttal, and that's about it. Oh, okay. So we should just forget.
At this point, that's some pretty old stuff too. I mean, when did that come out? That was what, 2005?
Yeah.
2006.
Meanwhile, we've been constantly reviewing and correcting ourselves, may I add. You know, we've as a movement, we're always learning. We're saying, oh, look, we made a mistake here, but new evidence has come out here. We're constantly correcting ourselves and getting more and more closer to the truth.
Look, Popular Mechanics is just a lightweight, glossy mag for you know, people who want to pretend that they... Yeah, it's not just that.
I mean, at this point, you know, we've had a good handful of, high profile so-called debunking, TV specials, BBC, History Channel, what have you. You know, they've invested quite a bit into these pretty slick hit piece things. You know, and the casual viewer can sit back and watch that and, you know, chuckle at the crazy people who think that 9/11 was anything except, you know, what our loving government told us it was, which, and there's just like a lot of cognitive dissonance in that too, because, you know, people understand that the government's lying about a lot of things and they expect it. In fact, and that's one of the, one of the really just horrible situations we find ourselves in now, is where people actually expect the government to lie to them. They don't just expect it, but they accept it and go along with it and think that that's an acceptable situation. But, you know, there's a lot of mental and emotional blocks when it comes to dealing with 9/11. And let me tell you something. I mean, the reason it's not an accident that that's the case. But, I mean, this is such a major issue. I mean, it's just such a fundamental key issue to the agenda, the global agenda, what's going on. And it's that important. It's that important to impede, a legitimate investigation into this event.
Cosmos,
a lot of people are making a lot of money on this. And, I think that a lot of the elites, the governments of the world, the corporate leaders, you know, their vision of where they want to take us really hinges on a lot on this paradigm that was established with this event.
Great. Look, Cosmos, yeah. Do you reckon you could give us a little bit of background on your history in the 9/11 truth movement? And I'd like
to
get the same from Luke as well, because
I didn't really
have a chance to introduce you properly, or I certainly wasn't... I didn't have it prepared, and I just want to know a little bit about how you got into it, and of course how you started that. What gave you the idea for that September 11th, for that 11th of the month action idea? It's really important what you've done.
Right. Well, I'll try to break it into some bite-sized pieces here, because really I have been involved with this since pretty much day one. I mean, I was questioning 9/11 the day it happened, and then 3 days later I found out my Uncle Mickey died, and that kind of took me, in another direction. I got a little bit wrapped up with the propaganda that we were just being flooded with for a month or two. And it was really, it was really seeing the first color photographs of the prisoners, of the detainees, the first photograph that came back from what they were calling Camp X-Ray at the time in Guantanamo Bay, and seeing these guys in their orange jumpsuits kneeling on the gravel with the goggles on and the ear things on, with dogs barking on. I saw this at the front page of the newspaper, and it was such a bad vibe. It was
like a deliberate act of propaganda in itself. It was like smacking you in the face. I remember when I saw it too. It was a clear
signal that something very wrong was going on, and it just kind of snapped me out of whatever I had been in for a couple of months, and I really started looking around and just seeing what people were saying, different research that was being done, and basically getting involved with what would eventually become, years later, would be called the 9/11 truth movement. But that was January 2002, and I got involved with some local people who were doing some things, some 9/11 truth oriented things during that spring and summer, and was involved in my first street action for 9/11 truth. It was on the first anniversary of that day. And so, I mean, I've done a number of things over the years. I had a fairly long-running public access television show that I think was one of the first in the country to focus exclusively on 9/11 truth, helped start a couple of groups. At the end of 2006, we saw so many people on the street doing actions for 9/11 truth, and I really felt strongly that there needed to be some way where we could
And we've lost your signal there, Cosmos. Looks like we've lost Cosmos. Have I lost Josh as well? No, you're still there. Look, we might have to just pause there. Hello, you still there?
Okay, I'm here, yeah.
No worries, man. Thanks.
So we're just talking with a number of people about, you know, the idea of having an ongoing action that happens at a regular time, and the 11th was a pretty obvious day to do that. And we started that in February 2007, and it just sort of naturally spread around the world. You know, people picked up on it, and it's a completely grassroots, autonomous campaign. You know, it's not a top-down thing. No one's telling anyone else what to do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a lot of people who participate in it don't even know where it came from, you know? So it's just, you know, people doing their own thing, basically. And it's pretty cool. I mean, this campaign has inspired, you know, hundreds of street actions for 9/11 truth around the world. I set up truthaction.org to be a home base for this campaign, just basically to promote it and represent it, and for people to do networking through there. And but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty autonomous, and it's pretty much going on, you know, on its own.
Yeah. And I know some people, you know, they can't make it on the 11th because it falls on a weekday, and they're working and stuff.
You know, it's not about doing it exactly on the 11th, or, you know, being really uptight about that. I mean, it's great that we do it at the same time, but the idea is just to do it, you know, and join us.
Yeah.
And if you have to join us on the 9th,
the weekend,
or the 10th, or the 12th, or the 13th, do it, because it's so much better than not doing anything at all. And also, another thing is, you don't have to do what the rest of us are doing. You know, a lot of us like to go out on the street, and we do outreach, we hand out materials, we give out DVDs, we hold signs, but you don't have to do that, you know? The idea is really to do any kind of action that that increases visibility for this cause, you know, and to help get the truth out. And so that could really be, you know, I mean, you set the limit. It could be anything you want to do.
It's getting quite, the protests in Europe seem to be getting larger. Do you know how it went this year? Because last year I know they had a big one, and this year they had a big one as well in Belgium, I believe.
Yeah, they've been doing that the last 3 years, I didn't really see what they did this past year.
Yeah, neither did I. I couldn't find any information on it. But
I think they did a naked protest.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They kind of switched gears this year, which I was kind of sorry to see that, because the last 2 years they had done a march that was you know, very it was very moving to see the videos of it, to see so many people out in the street. For 9/11 truth in a European country.
Absolutely.
Leave it up to the Europeans to go nude. You know, they love it.
That's true.
Well, look, at least they're...
I mean, that's kind of been a popular thing for different causes. Like, you know, you'll have World Naked Bike Day, or, you know, you'll have animal activists getting naked or whatever. I don't know if it's really the best idea for this.
Gets the news cameras, right?
But, yeah, I mean, you know, We need new ideas, so, you know, I'm not going to...
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, they do it to advertise, like, you know, cell phones and stuff. I mean, you know, people have been running across sports stadiums with advertising slogans on it. I mean, you know, it's just a way of getting people's attention.
Right, exactly.
You know, but look, thanks for that roundup. I'd really like to get... the same from Luke, if he's there.
Let me grab him, because we had to kind of separate, because the phones are sort of going off the hook here.
No worries.
I'm here. What's going on?
Yeah, hey, Luke, how you rocking, man?
I'm just a little bit sunburned from today, but I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Look, was wondering if you could give us a bit of background on We Are Change, because a lot of people might not be familiar with how you started it. Actually, I'm not. I remember when I first saw We Are Change, the very first time it popped up, I liked it immediately. I liked it because of the name. I liked the words. I liked the three words together. I liked the concept. And I could see that it actually had a strong idea behind it right from the beginning. And that seems to have maintained all the way through. And also what I've seen with We Are Change is that every chapter that starts off seems to pick up that spirit. You seem to have a natural synergy working there. And I really admire it, really admire what you've done. So,
yeah, We Are Change is not much of an organization. It's more of an idea. It's an idea of principles of nonviolence and being the change that we want to see in this world based on Gandhi's principles and Martin Luther King's work. It's about just going out there and believing in yourself and following your heart. And as long as we do that, and as long as we take care of other people like We Are Change has been doing with community service work all over the world, as long as we keep, just listening to our hearts and just going out there doing what we believe in, anything's possible. And it's just been an incredible ride from the beginning, seeing it grow from, a small group of New York City kids and now to over 180 We Are Change chapters all over the world. And we never even planned on it even leaving New York, and it did, and it just spread like a wildfire.
So what was the moment of creation of that, Luke? Was it just like you sitting around with some friends or like...
I was pretty much organizing the main 9/11/06 events down at Ground Zero with a bunch of other people. And we saw a huge lack of youth. So that's when I decided to ask Alex Jones to come down and Loose Change and Immortal Technique. And then out of all three of those people, we did a huge event that I organized at Cooper Union. And there I just collected everybody's email. And after collecting everybody's email, I sent out an email calling a meeting. We set a meeting, we were just talking, and then a couple of weeks later we thought of a name, and then a couple of weeks later just things fell into place slowly. Somebody built a website, I did confrontations, and ever since those confrontations, it just exploded every single way all over the world, and people have been mocking and mimicking us and doing the same thing we've been doing.
Excellent. I have to say...
Man, and what I really love is, being a designer myself, I just love the design you guys have had since the start. Some really cool, funky openers to your confrontations, and the confrontations themselves are just awesome. They're so inspiring, Luke, and I really, they really catch a nerve with a lot of people. And what I also love about We Are Change is the respect. You have this constant Gandhescent, I don't even know if that's a word, but, a Gandhi-style respect for the opposition. So they're kicking you out there. They're yelling, they're screaming at you, and you're always calling them sir. You're always being very respectful and very peaceful. And I think, the more, what Gandhi said, the more someone kicks you when you're down, the more they start questioning themselves.
Exactly, and that's when, the true change in this country is going to happen, is when people realize what they're doing and see it with the human side and not with just their anger and their hatred towards one another. And when that comes, that's when we could really take this country back. And I think We Are Change, especially with the confrontations, it's like a modern-day version of David versus Goliath. You have just regular kids out of college coming up to, David Rockefeller and telling him off. And I'd just like to say also during the conference this Saturday and Sunday I'll be speaking. I'm going to show a new, never-before-seen confrontation with Lord Jacob Rothschild, with Thomas Keane, and also a trailer for my new movie that's coming out later in 2010. So definitely come out this Saturday, Sunday in Sydney, where I'll be showing never-before-seen confrontations with Lord Jacob Rothschild and Thomas Keane.
Excellent.
Yeah, we should give out the website for the conference. It's theheartevidence.com.
Yeah. Get over to that site if you haven't
already. Really
want
to encourage everyone who can to come out. It's gonna be a great lineup of speakers both days, Saturday and Sunday.
It is. I'm even speaking.
Yeah, totally.
Believe it or not. Look, it's going to be a really great event, it's just so unique. I mean, we're just not going to have a chance to do this very often. Getting all these people out from halfway around the world. It's a big expense. And we really just need to make it as big as we can. So anyone listening,
and folks, it's going to be awesome. I mean, get a flight. If you don't have somewhere to stay, I'm sure, we're a big movement. And just ring John or email him from theheartevidence.com. com, and he can send an email out to see if someone can, you can crash at some house or whatever. If, you know, it's all available here. So if you really want to make it up from Adelaide or Queensland or somewhere else around this country, do it for this weekend, because it's gonna be awesome.
Let's do it. Look, I've just got a couple of questions for Luke. I was following your what happened to you at Pittsburgh, and we did a show on that, on the Pittsburgh, you know, rioting and the insane police crackdown. I mean, it wasn't really a riot; it was really just protesting, but it was displayed in the news as a riot. And I saw this incredible.
Yeah, man, it wasn't even protesting. We were just trying to have a meeting in the park, or we were just trying to walk by it downtown. Nobody was even protesting, and that's what's really crazy about it. We were just walking down by, and you know, they're like, "There's a whole bunch of cops here." Oh well. Yeah, indeed.
And you've actually sort of, you know, you've been hit with a billy club a few times now, and you've been handcuffed, and, you know, what's all that like?
I mean, it's an experience in itself. Tear gas was kind of weird. I never expected it to be that, you know. It's not that bad, actually, tear gas.
Okay.
You know, you get hit by it, you just got to, you know, just kind of move away from it, and everything will be fine. The LRAD down, that's some hard stuff right there. My ears are still ringing from that. You know, the LRAD is really serious, sound wave weapons that they use in Iraq and against Somali pirates in Afghanistan. It's really harsh. Getting hit with the baton is, you know, it's whatever. Pain is temporary, but, you know, respect and courage will always stay with you. And they could hurt me all they want, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm not going to react violently to them. And, you know, they could do all these tests on me and they could put me through all these circumstances, but I know myself that I'm a loving human being and I would never dare hurt another person. And hopefully they will be able to see that with everything that happened there at the G20.
Absolutely. And, of course, the policy the policy with these large conferences and summits is that they don't allow protesters anywhere near where the actual delegates are. We had the same thing in Sydney a couple of years ago. We had, I think it was a G20, or no, it was the APAC, very similar type thing. They actually put a giant fence around the whole city. Can you believe it? Through the center of Sydney.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was the Chasers who kind of infiltrated that and showed how weak those fences really are. And that was a great show here in Australia with the Chasers.
Look, that was great.
Yeah, I mean, what's the crazy thing in Pittsburgh, it wasn't even really protests. It was like 20 miles out of town. There was one small gathering. As soon as people gathered, they tear gassed everybody, brought out the LRADs. And then that main video of me talking on the bullhorn to the police officers as they were marching in, that wasn't even nothing. We were just walking downtown to our cars, and then there was a whole big blockade of police everywhere we went, and there was a little crowd there, and we were like, can we please move to our cars? Can we please get out of here? And you know, all the media channels came down. NBC Nightly News, which we interrupted later that day, came down, were filming us, and it was just ridiculous. It was just insane. But I was very happy to be there to cover everything, to show the American public what's happening, and also to speak to the police officers and speak to the whole world through YouTube and let them know that, you know, we're not here to hurt you and that we are family. We are brothers. We are sisters, mothers, fathers. We all are living in this world together, and we should not be manipulated and used by these elites for their own good.
Absolutely. And did you end up getting charged with anything as a result of
that? Yeah, I actually got charged with failure to disperse and disorderly conduct by the police officers. A lot of my other friends got charged with the same thing. And it was just a crazy, insane situation.
Yeah, well, I hope that doesn't lead to any further problems for you. I mean, it just seems what they're doing there, and it just seems to be part of a pattern. I can't see any reason for it other than there is this trend towards an increasingly totalitarian system. And we've seriously got the same issues here in Australia. Every now and then it just pops up. I'm constantly amazed at the way our basic legal system, our basic laws and our basic freedoms have been eroded. I mean, there are things that there was something we were just covering earlier in the show tonight where it's basically just that you can be charged now under terrorism offences just for writing a letter to someone that someone finds offensive. I mean, basically, you've got a situation where the system has got out of control. They've got kind of a mentality written into the laws that they can basically call you a terrorist for doing things that don't involve any threat to another person that have no consequences other than you basically expressing your opinion. That is now basically chargeable under terrorism laws. That's what we've got in Australia. And I know you've got the same thing under the Patriot Act, similar situation in the UK and probably in many parts of Europe. And, of course, in a lot of other parts of the world, you know, we've had, you know, many countries are under various forms of dictatorship and tyranny. But we've kind of seen our freedoms basically being gradually eroded away. And I tell you, it's really... we're just on this show, we just try to continually remind people of it, because on the news, all they ever get is sound bites which distract them.
And Paris Hilton and Britney Spears, that's what you pretty much get on the news, and a bunch of crap.
Indeed.
But, you know, people
totally.
We just have to use our rights, and as long as we use our rights for the better and not hurt anybody, but just going out there expressing our freedoms and beliefs. As long as we use those rights, they become stronger and stronger every time we use them. Every time we don't use them, every time we don't go to a protest or a rally or stand up for our rights, we lose those rights. And that's why it's so critically important for strong-minded people, but also educated people to go out there and stand up for their rights.
What do you say to people that that say that, you know, our demonstrations don't work? You know, there was millions of people that demonstrated against the war in Iraq and we still went, and millions of people protested against Jacques Chirac setting off a nuclear bomb on Niue Atoll and that didn't work. And, you know, people have sort of got this attitude like, oh, look, we've been to these protests and they still just do what they want. What do you say to that?
I mean, it's not just about protesting. I mean, protests are important, but it's also... extremely important to educate police officers, educate people in the military, to go after the, you know, politicians and reveal truth by interviewing them, asking them serious questions. Protesting, yeah. I don't agree with most protesting. I know a lot of the left just goes out to Washington, D.C. They scream at each other, hold signs to each other, and they think they did something. When in reality, that doesn't do anything. When I try to hold a protest or a rally, one thing our main key focus is reaching out to other people, is talking to other people, not screaming at them, giving them information, yeah. giving them DVDs, breaking down yeah. the information one person at a time, patiently listening to them, understanding what other people are coming from, and then coming back with information that will benefit them. And I think that is extremely more beneficial because, you know, the more people wake up, the more leaders we will have in this movement, the more people will take up this cause and fight for what they believe in. And, you know, you never know who you're going to educate, who you're going to touch, yeah. and whose life you're going to impact for the better, and how it's going to reverberate throughout society. It's like the butterfly yeah. effect, you know. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, so well said. Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a big echo here, so I can't really, like, hear my thoughts. Every time I say something, it keeps coming back, so I apologize if I keep pausing.
Yeah.
Oh,
we don't have the best line, unfortunately. It's still a bit crackly there.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to problem with myself.
No worries.
Should we try to ring back? Or would...
Well, look...
Let's just keep going. I mean,
I think we'll just plow through it.
And let's just go with it.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
All right.
So tomorrow, guys, we are going to be at the ABC studios. I'm going to be there. I'll probably be there after lunch. It's going to be a great day. You'll have a chance to experience what it's like in Sydney being an activist. That's it's interesting. Probably one of the things that stands out, I think, in Sydney is people are pretty blasé about everything. You know, people don't really, I don't know, you know, we have a smaller population here. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people here, especially people
We're
who work in the
happy,
CBD,
you know,
are pretty well off. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people kind of have a kind of a smirking, kind of giggling attitude towards this stuff. You know, sometimes people will just say, oh, you know, conspiracy theorists, ha, ha, ha. And, of course, that makes some of us get pretty annoyed, you know. And we try to be, you know, keep it calm. Because, like, the thing is, like, we just want to tell facts. We don't want to speculate about conspiracies. That's not what we're here to do. So yeah, it'll be interesting anyway.
I mean, a lot of people say the same thing about you know, Americans, but you know, we can't give up in people and humanity. You know, we were there one day. I was there one day. I was, you know, a big sports jock. I used to love playing basketball, and that's all I did. And I didn't care about anything else. And then you know, it took one person, it took me being affected, beat up by the police officers to see what's going on and then make me work to change those things that I was going through. And you never know what could happen, and you never can give up on any human being, because our human spirit, our human divinity is so important and so versatile that it could change at any time, any second, with just the right words. And it's so powerful to speak truth, because those words are so amplified. There's so much heart in it, and people see how strong and powerful it is. And it just spreads like a wildfire.
Yeah, they resonate. And when you get a resonance, it builds. It builds and it builds. And finally, and one day it'll get to, hopefully very soon, it'll get to a point where it reaches critical mass. And I mean, I know very much so that a lot of people that I talk to, they go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. And it's kind of like, well, what you could do is let more people know and be a bit more vocal about it, because it's getting to the point where the zeitgeist is turning to the fact that people do know now, because there's so many good films out there, all for free. I mean, we've never lived in such a time of information freely available to everyone, away from this sort of broadcast propaganda tool. And we're living in an amazing time for truth.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's, you know, there's so much potential. There's so many beautiful things we could do in our world and our society. And anything is possible as long as we believe in it, and we could do anything we want.
Oh, man. Hear, hear.
Absolutely. So have you guys kind of got over your jet lag yet?
Have you gotten nervous, Cosmos?
Yeah, no jet lag.
Yeah, we got out of it really quick. We went into Sydney as soon as we got here.
Excellent. And you're here for a couple of weeks, or?
I'm only here till Sunday. Cosmos is here for a while, and then he's going to New Zealand, right, Cosmos?
Yeah, I'm moving to Australia and
excellent.
New Zealand.
Excellent. So you're gonna live out here for a while?
Well, yeah, it looks like it.
Great.
Awesome. We'll
that
soak up the sun
really,
while it's here,
really,
man.
Good.
That's awesome.
So how long are you going to stay in New Zealand?
I'm here.
So how long are you in New Zealand for, Cosmos?
I think for the month of December.
Okay. And then back to Sydney after that, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, we'd love to have you on the show while you're here regularly, because you're a great you had a great show for a while yourself, and I listened to it many times, and I really liked the way you did that. So we'd like to have you on a few times while you're here.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be great.
How often do you do your show?
We try to do it every week. Sometimes we miss a week. We're both working full-time, and it's sometimes pretty hard to get organized.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just a podcast. It's not a radio show. We've got a good audience. We've got an audience that likes what we do. We get into a lot of topics. We're not kind of pure as you are in terms of what your activism is about. We're looking at a whole lot of buried information. But what I think what drives us on Truth News is that we have a pretty strict definition of what we consider to be empirical or scientific factual information versus pure speculation, or even speculation that might be interesting, that might be true, but if we can't find some good facts to back it up, we try not to promote it, because what we find is that there's so much going on that's got good facts behind it, there's just so much of that that's actually been blocked in the news, that we don't need to get into the more kind of wacky stuff, you know what I mean? We don't need to touch that, because we look at issues around climate change. It's a big theme on this show. We talk about vaccinations a lot, and you know, these are all things that have become pretty central with the truth movement these days. We look at basic issues of freedom, justice issues, some issues that are, you know, unique to Australia that you probably wouldn't have even heard of. I think it could be interesting for you to actually get into some of the issues that we talk about and just get some perspective, because we always like to have discussion and input, and it's always good to have fresh input from people from a different part of the world too.
Well, I'd love to join you guys anytime you want to have me.
Awesome.
Well, guys, good luck with what's that? The website again is the Hard Evidence.
Yeah, thehardevidence.com is the website for the conference. It's going on this Saturday and Sunday in Sydney,
And this is also a tour, too, so it's going to be taking place in a couple of different cities. Right, Harrowood, you know, probably know the details of that.
Yeah, sure.
Me.
Look, it's going to Brisbane, it's also going to Melbourne, and it's also going to Wellington in the North Island of New Zealand. And Richard Gage will be speaking at all those events. And you know, he's just a remarkable man. I interviewed him last week on this show, and it was great. One of the best interviews I think I've done. And Richard will also be in Sydney tomorrow. And yeah, so anyone who's in Melbourne or Brisbane, try to get to those events. Have a look at the Hard Evidence site. And if you can sponsor
now,
a friend,
folks,
even better.
Pardon?
If you can sponsor a friend, if you're listening to the show and you'd like to sponsor a friend, that's a great way of contributing as well.
Yeah, apparently skeptics get in at half price or something, right?
Is that right?
Is that the case?
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yes, something like that. But look.
Well, we want everyone to be a skeptic.
Also, yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's really, that's a very good point. You know, it's always important to be skeptical, and it's always important to do your own research. Don't believe us.
That was you know, one of the names that was used for people who were, you know, who were seeking some truth about 9/11 at the beginning was the 9/11 skeptics.
Oh, look, this term skeptic has been so abused now.
Yeah, because it's the same thing with, you know, conspiracy theory or any of these words that are used to promote an agenda. You know. And kind of like debunking. You know, it's like they'll call what they do debunking, but really they're busy filling it full of bunk, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, the most ridiculous thing is the Skeptic Society, which is supposedly official, you know.
Yeah,
skeptics.
No, that's kind of sad. I mean, that's such a broad abuse of the term and the concept that it really is kind of sad.
Oh, because yeah.
Because that's one thing that they're actually not at all. Skeptics. It's very, very sad.
And in this country, there's just been massive vilification of what our Prime Minister calls climate change skeptics. And they are now officially, he gave a really ranting speech yesterday, which was really quite extraordinary, even for him. I mean, even in this climate, his speech basically was treating climate change skeptics as if they were pedophiles. I would say that was the only... That was the only phrase, but what? That was the way he was portraying it, that they were some sort of basically scourge on society. But it's just interesting that the use of language and the way words are, you know, I mean, to be a skeptic, to be a person who asks questions is sort of now, I don't know, it's like being a Holocaust denier, or, you know, it's like just all of these strange words that are just ways of tagging someone as evil. It's basically, they might as well just be saying evil, you know, he has
right. The
devil in him. That's really what they mean, you know.
Well, I mean, it's just, that's just kind of, there's a science to it, and, you know, they take these words and they repeat them over and over in a certain context to, you know, imbue them with this sort of meaning, and the next thing you know, it's like they're vilifying you with the word that you came up with, or you know, something like that. I mean, the way that they say the word truther, you know.
Yeah.
I've never been fond of that word myself, but I mean, it's a truther. I mean, someone who's seeking truth. You know, how is that a bad thing? But you know, you'll read some of these articles that they put out, or some of these hit pieces that they do, and you know, they'll say that word with, you know, with such a scowl and this bad tone, you know, truthers.
And they also put it, it sort of gives it this kind of like Trekkie sort of vibe, like you're a part of some sort of, you know, sci-fi group or something. Like they really try to change it from a serious, extremely serious topic to this sort of la-di-da, fluffy topic where people are truthers.
Basically do anything that they can except address the hard facts, and you know, and some of the issues that, you know, that really, I mean, just haven't been touched at all. You know, when they really do have to come and try to pretend like they're dealing with some of the evidence regarding the towers, it basically amounts to a sleight of hand. You know, and there's just so many, you know, so many issues.
Indeed. Well, and, you know, the Australian media, as you may well be aware, Cosmos, is more or less owned by King Rupert, who, of course, was Australian originally. All of our press virtually is owned by Rupert Murdoch. And we have four broadcast television stations. And, you know, they're all basically controlled by one or two different organizations. And then we have the government broadcaster. But our media here is extremely adept at propaganda. We are right up there with the best of the best in terms of our ability. The media's ability to basically completely control public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sway public opinion one way or the other because they own all of the media. It's actually not that hard when you own all the media. I mean, people just come home, switch the television on, and plug in, and that's how they do it. And
but also what happens is that you get instead of doing investigative journalism, which costs quite a bit, they just get close to the politicians because then they can just have a story here and there every day. And if they do a hit piece or anything that's kind of truthful or damning, they then get pushed away from the politicians. And you
access.
See the same thing. They lose their access, man. And you see the same thing happen with Fox News. Now, that's a really crusty news organization, I must say. But they've been sort of almost banned by the Obama administration now for some things. I mean, look, they aren't a news organization anyway. I'd consider them just fluff. But that's the sort of example of the control methods that both of them play with each other out of this sort of relationship of convenience.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that we're really not going to get out of this kind of situation that we're in globally unless we have some kind of major reform with the media. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know what that's going to look like or what it could look like, but we really have to break out of this media monopoly.
Well, one thing I've found, Cosmos, is that we need to actually network more with groups that are working for truth and justice in a variety of different fields. What I've actually done with this show and what I've done with the film screenings that we've done as We Are Change Sydney is I've done film screenings on several different themes, one of them being genetically modified foods, the other one being the overuse and the dangers of psychopharmaceutical drugs.
And two very, very important topics.
Incredibly important topics. And big activist groups working in those groups. I'm trying to connect people. I'm trying to actually make people understand that, see, because some people understand that genetically modified foods are extremely dangerous and they've done their research. But you tell them about 9/11 and even though they know about that, they say 9/11, oh, it must be a conspiracy theory. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get the most important issues that have groups on the show. We also had a leader of an anti-vaccination or vaccination awareness group come on the show, and we did some really interesting stuff on there. And basically, we're trying to network a bit so that we can get to see how the media is being controlled in all these different ways. And, you know, we're making some progress here, but it's slow. And, of course, the biggest trouble we have is with the environmental groups, because I would love to have more connection with environmental groups. But the problem is, because we don't see eye to eye on CO2 and anthropogenic global warming, you know, they think we're right-wing nuts. We're not, you know. We're just interested in truth. We apply exactly...
That
same...
is such a difficult topic. It's just such an amazing. I mean, it's like a landmine. It's like a field of landmines between creating this discord and this disconnect between so many people. And it's kind of complex too, because it's not really like a black and white thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I hate to admit this, you know, to admit my ignorance or whatever, but, you know, I haven't done that much research on this, but I do know. So like I don't really come down on one way or another on as far as the research. I think it's really interesting, kind of, you know, what I have looked into, seeing the disagreements, and also seeing kind of like the cover up of some of the disagreements and this and that. But one thing I am really clear on is the so-called solutions that are being forwarded to this situation, which is just, you know, I mean, it's
the solutions all seem to involve taking wealth away from the poor and giving it to the rich,
and controlling every little last thing in existence, basically. So I mean, just, you know, just looking at that is so incredible, and it's just such, you know, it's such a huge glaring red flag. You know, and I'm always so amazed at, you know, at some of the people who are, you know, really concerned with this situation, who just don't see a problem in that at all. And to me, that's quite horrifying, you know, that someone can't understand that why there would be such a serious problem with governments who are obviously, you know, involved in so much mass murder and thievery and lying. Why giving them that much more control over everything would be a bad idea?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that's kind of my, you know, my
that, totally
ignorant opinion.
Well, look, and I always say, you know, people have got to choose their battles, because you can't honestly be an expert at everything. And you know, Cosmos, you and Luke, you guys have really hit the nail on the head with 9/11 and really done.
Yeah, I'm a 9/11 activist, and I have to dedicate myself and kind of devote myself entirely to that, just because someone needs to, you know, someone has to do that, to hold that, you know, to hold that steady,
but,
you know.
And that's what we're saying, you know. If someone's passionate about raw food or about you know, organic food, get out there and be passionate about that. If someone's passionate about you know, seeking the truth about free energy, or not free energies, but alternative energy, then be passionate about that. And really get active. And that, I think that's the real inspiration that you guys bring to the table as well. You know, such positive action that you guys have been performing for the last, you know, 8 years, 7 years, is stunning, and very inspirational. People should apply that to any field that they feel passionate about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Indeed.
Well, it's just about following your heart and just doing what you think is right. And that's what we advocate, you know, just being the change that we want to see in this world. It's simple. It's easy. It's a basic principle that has worked for the last 100 years in nonviolent ways. Well, it's kind of
are
you going to stand up and speak your mind and do what you know is right in your heart? Or are you going to sit down and shut up and be bulldozered?
And watch your
bloodline be wiped out, and watch your grandchildren be made into slaves. You know, so you kind of can choose either or. And I, you know, what I say is, every time you tell the truth, you win.
You know, every time you speak up, we all win. You know, it's like we're making progress every time you decide to speak your mind and stand up for truth, and not be afraid to go against what everyone is telling you is right, that you know is wrong. Every time you do that, we win, and that's a little bit of progress, you know. So it's kind of like,
on.
Make that
spot
choice,
on.
You know, be the change you want to see in the world.
I love what you just said. It's really, really excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. It's potent, very potent. And, you know, the first thing you learn in kindergarten is don't steal, don't hit, and don't lie. You know, they're the three basic things in life, you know, and you do yourself proud when you do that. You know, I think that's really a wonderful place to be, when you can feel really proud of your lifestyle choices, because you're being virtuous in them.
Yeah, and when when you follow your heart, things come so much easier. And when you just do what you want and when you don't hurt others, I mean, things just naturally come to you. And as long as you just follow simple principles and you don't hurt others, you mean, it's just like living the perfect life and being happy with yourself and who you are. You're not being fake. You're not putting on an act. You are who you are, and you're going to say what's on your mind. And that's a beautiful feeling, being able to say what you want, do what you want, and express yourself like you want.
Yeah.
And that really helps free up other people, too, because, you know, for everyone who's thinking, geez, should I just keep my head down and shut up and go along with this, or should I speak up and just say, hey, this over here isn't right, you know, I got to make a comment over here. You know, for every one person that's thinking that, there's got to be at least 100 people who are standing around thinking the same thing, but they're not anywhere near making that choice. And when you make that choice and you decide to speak up and go ahead and just tell the truth, that, you know, that gives a little hope, some inspiration, and helps out everyone else. You know, so every time that we can do that, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's not easy to do. You know, sometimes it's really difficult to do. So, I mean, every time that one of us speaks out and stands up for the truth, it, you know, helps all of us out, whatever the situation. I'm not talking about just political situations, just, you know, an everyday reality.
Yeah,
you know,
and
we're always
faced
with these kinds of situations.
You know, it applies.
You know, the interesting
thing
is, sorry,
no, go ahead, Josh.
The interesting thing is, we're so highly networked these days. We've got Facebook and YouTube and email, and I mean, we're just the most networked we've ever been. Yet, a lot of the time, people feel like scared to post something a little bit more. That will scratch some people up the wrong way on their Facebook, because they think, oh, I don't want to be, you know, rub people up the wrong way or whatever. But I think every time you do something like that on your page, it inspires other people, and you'll find out that you'll make, you know, a lot of your friends will go, yeah, good on you, man. That's really good that you're speaking up for that, for what you believe.
So true. Look, guys, we should probably let you guys go. You probably need to have a bit of a rest, get ready for tomorrow. Thank you so much for tonight.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it.
It's been fun. And,
hey, man.
Looking forward to meeting you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you guys out on the street tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
Okay, we'll be there.
All right.
Take care, dude.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Rock on.
And there they go, Luke and Cosmos, visiting Australia and joining us and other activists tomorrow at the ABC Studios and here for the Hard Evidence Conference.
Yeah, the hard evidence, that's really going to rock that conference. It's well worth the money, guys, and the time, you know. If you can sponsor a mate, like you said, Harrowood, to come along, you know, I'm sure tickets are, I'm not sure, check the website, but ring John if you can't pull the money together. I'm sure he'll do you a discount. You know, we want to get as many people there as possible. If you've got a concession card and stuff, there's all concessions available. So really get out there and tell your mates, post it on your Facebook. You know, go to thehardevidence.com and post it on your Facebook, because it's really a well worth experience. And anyone that's a skeptic out there is going to really have a blast, because it's going to blow their minds.
Indeed it is. I'm really looking forward to it. I guess that's the end of the show for tonight, unless there's any final points we need to make.
No, but I think we should definitely, you know, while I was listening to that show, while we're doing that, I really think we should do shows and every week discuss certain, like a term like propaganda, and really talk about what it means, what propaganda is, and what, you know, certain words, because we've been in this Orwellian world, words have been twisted and moved, and so people don't know what a lot of words mean anymore. And I think it'd be great to really deconstruct words, to really give the dictionary definition of what these words historically have meant and what they mean now.
I think that's an excellent idea. Yeah, we need to help our listeners to kind of deconstruct, to understand when a word is kind of being kind of abused And I think certain words that we've heard so much, like even say the word democracy or the word freedom, these words have been used so much. And, you know, how many times did we hear George Bush say the word freedom? And
it's insane.
And the word becomes stripped of its meaning because it's used in these distorted ways. And yeah, I totally agree. That's definitely on our agenda.
And not only that, you know, we want our listeners to educate us and help us. So if you guys have got a word that you want us to really try to deconstruct, and if you've got some comments about the show, please go to truthnews.com.au, leave a comment on the show notes, spread the show around far and wide. Like I said, we're totally networked in this day and age with Facebook and MySpace and YouTube. You know, post this video, post this podcast up on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn it into a video, you know, stick some graphics behind it.
We would love to have someone doing that regularly.
Stick this info up.
If there's someone who's listening who wants to start a podcast, a YouTube channel of our show, we will not, you know, sue you, okay? We are not litigious.
We really would appreciate that because as much help as we can get, we've had someone, a very kind listener, donate a mixing desk, and that was just awesome, and some other donations have come through. So, you know, we really love everyone that helps us out on this show in terms of their time or anything that they've got lying around that they think might be helpful. And most of all, actually being active and posting information out for the important information we try to disseminate, and posting it and further disseminating that and virally, you know, contaminating the country with truth.
Contaminating the country with truth. Yes.
Viral. See, that's got a negative spin to it.
Let's spin it back positive because, you know, the viral dissemination of knowledge is extremely powerful, and that's what we're here for. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right, mate. Great. Well, to all our listeners, I'll see you next week.
Indeed.
Harold.
I'll see you.
Great.
And you
on
too.
The flip side.
You too. Okay. Good night.
Jamie.